Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord. This is Pastor DM here with you on another day that God has given us. This is the last Sunday in the month of February. Just in case you didn't know today, Samsung Electronics, the company behind the Samsung Galaxy smartphone lineup, is announcing new phones. I guess the announcement's going on right now. The Galaxy S9 and the Galaxy S9 Plus. And so if you have nothing to do after church, after this service, you want to go check something out, they'll probably have it on YouTube. Just a little tech announcement there. Seeing that we're a mobile church and, we stay on the go and everything we do is on mobile. So that might be something that entertains you, but, we're here today for the word. Amen. 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 Pray for your pastor. My voice is not the greatest in the world. It could do much better, but I thank God that I even have a voice. I was worried I wouldn't even be able to come on the air today, but God has been good to us. And what I want to do is lift up the name of Jesus and lift up the word, lift up scripture, lift up the Bible. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about us. It's about him. Amen. So we are going to do that this day. I have had a lot on my mind this week, but really it's all come from one thing in particular, and that is the shooting in Parkland, Florida, at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School, where a shooter walked in and shot up 17 people, 14 students and 3 teachers, and injured 14 others. And my mind, my heart has been with, and my mind has been with the victims' families, their parents, spouses, children. If the teachers had children, I don't know, but if they did, my thoughts have been on, just the loss that the Parkland community is feeling. Amen. And I pray that you have been praying for them. I have been praying for them. They have a long recovery process ahead of them. And God has been laying that on my heart all week. I've been on social media all week trying to combat the spread of gun violence, trying to combat the sale of so many outrageous guns like the AR-15 that the shooter used, because no one should be able to walk into a school and shoot a gun and fire off 150 rounds of ammo in 6 to 7 minutes. No one should have that capability in the world, and particularly in our country, the United States. So with that being said, for those of you who live outside of the U.S. where you don't have gun violence, please write our congressman, write us, and please give us some common sense, because there's just no use for it. And we have been doing our Educate the Hate Month this month. Amen. And we've been talking about racism. Last Sunday's sermon on Numbers 12. I pray that you've been able to listen to it. If you haven't, please do. It's called Interracial Marriage and the Interracial God. Please go listen to that sermon. It is going to bless you. God definitely blessed me. I pray those of you who heard it were blessed by it. But today, we're going to deal with the subject of gun violence, because we can't have a land of liberty where there is no life. And there must be liberty alongside of justice. That is, that you're not just free with your liberties to kill people. You're not just free with your liberties to drunk drive and kill families. You're not free to just do any and everything you want. Liberty has its limits. And those limits must be in place to ensure life. Because remember, in the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson wrote, and we hold these, you know, these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, which means government can't take these away. And what are they? They are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In that order, if there is no life, there is no liberty. And if there is no liberty, then there is no pursuit of happiness. So it is with heavy heart today that I preach the word of God as God has given it to me. Amen. And so my only announcements are to pray for us, to pray for the Essential Church and what God is doing. Pray for your pastor. I am tired in body. I get that way all the time. Every day is a tiring race, but God has given it to me to run, and I want to run not to please me, but to please him. So in all of your praying, please pray for your pastor. Pray for our country. Pray for the United States. Pray for the world, because, amen, the world needs to know that the hope has come. Hope is not better laws. The hope is not safer streets. The hope that we have is Jesus Christ. And if we have Christ, all those other things will be icing on the cake. But we must have Jesus. Amen. So please pray for that. We're going to go, if you have your Bibles, and you should always have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. I don't know if you all are aware of all that has occurred this week. We're going to get into it in our sermon. I wanted to come before you today with something that the Lord had been doing in my heart and mind all week. And I had a sermon text lined up. And with all that happened during the week, I mean, the Spirit spoke to me and it was just like, no, you're not going to do that this week. You're not going to preach on that. And I'm like, Lord, but I had it lined up. God was like, no, you're not going to preach on that. You're going to preach on this, because my people need to be informed of what's going on in our world and what God thinks about that. And so if we're going to know what's going on, we're going to know what God thinks about it, then that other sermon, which would have been great, isn't what God wanted to be preached today. So every preacher will tell you there are a couple passages always lined up, but God always gets the final and deciding vote. Amen. So we are here in the spirit of humility today to preach to you the unadulterated word of God. Proverbs 17, verse 23. You're going to be shocked. I only have one verse today. And I'm like, wow, you must have really had a beat up week. You only have one verse. No, but God has given it to me. And I think one verse says it all. But we're going to get into the events of the week in the sermon. So instead of telling them to you, I'm going to preach. Amen. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 23. And it reads, a wicked man accepts a bribe behind the back to pervert the ways of justice. A wicked man accepts a bribe behind the back to pervert the ways of justice. We're going to talk today on the subject, Money Talks, the NRA, gun manufacturers, and gun reform. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come this day to thank you for your blessings. Lord, we thank you for the abilities you've given us to breathe, to get up this morning, to be about our daily activities. Lord, many of us have gone to worship services, Lord, and we've come home now, and we just thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for life. We thank you that though the sun may be shining or may not be wherever you are in the world, Lord, we just thank you that we are able to see this day. And God, to be reminded that as the season changes and spring comes again, the flowers bloom and the birds sing, God, we're reminded of just how you renew all things. And we just thank you, Lord, for the seasons and the times and the changing weather, God, that despite all the sadness that winter brings, God, you always bring us the spring. Lord, as we come, we ask now that you would be with us as we study your word. Lord, today there is a topic on my heart and on your heart, God, that you want your people to know. You want us to be informed, because you said that your people perish for lack of knowledge. So God, as we study your word, would you give us knowledge to be informed of the times and the seasons in which we live? God, that as citizens, not only of this world, but of your world, of the kingdom to come, that God, we would be informed in how to live and apply your word, not only in our hearts, but in this world. That not only would we cherish your word, but that we would live out your word, Lord, in a way that's so tangible that even those who don't know you would say, there's something about that person. There's something about their God that makes them live differently than everyone else that names their God. Lord, we know that there are many in the world who claim to know you, Lord, but they don't live like you. Lord, would you chastise us? Would you correct us, Lord, if that's us? And I'm pretty sure that's been us a time or two. God, would you correct us? Would you remind us of the calling you've given us? Lord, as we come, Lord, I pray for our leaders. I pray for this nation, God, as we mourn yet another senseless tragedy, that God, you will remind us that you are the God of all comfort and that you can comfort our hearts in the way that no other can. God, that as we look to you, that we wouldn't just give our thoughts and prayers to the victims. No, we wouldn't just give our thoughts and prayers, but we would give our action. We would pass laws to make it tougher in this country for criminals to get AR-15s and AK-47s. That God, that we would put your word to work in this world so that people would see you. That in everything we do, they would say, well, their God is what's driving their law changes. Their God is what's driving their action. Lord, let us not just be people of the book who hold up the book, but let us live by the book, your holy word. We thank you for all things, and we ask that you be with us now. Remove all distractions. Let us focus on your word. And now, Lord, would you let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart to be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. For it is in the matchless name of your son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 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 Today's subject, Money Talks, the NRA, gun manufacturers, and gun reform. On Wednesday, February 14th, a lone gunman walked into his old high school, from which he'd been expelled a year earlier, took an AR-15 rifle manufactured in the state of Florida by the Colt Corporation, the same corporation behind the Colt 45 gun, as many of you may know, and shot 17 people and injured 14 others. 17 died in the shooting, and the shooter is now behind bars. The AR-15 he used was an assault weapon, a rifle designed to shoot up to 600 rounds of ammo in a minute, though he only used it to fire off 150 rounds in 6 to 7 minutes. And the survivors of the Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, have taken their campaign to Washington to send a message that something must be done about these weapons used for mass destruction in our country. I've said it before, that those who shoot up schools, movie theaters, and other places in the U.S. are domestic terrorists and should be treated as such. And yet the survivors, mere teenagers, some as young as 14 were killed in the shooting, have had to fight a battle that should have been fought long before them. For the last year, Republicans have been in control of Congress, and Donald Trump, the Republican candidate who became the 45th president of the United States, have been in control of the House of Representatives and the Senate, both components of Congress, and have had time to enact laws to respond to mass school shootings. But they did not. Now, some would say that they refused to do so, like President Obama, because it wouldn't have the backing of Congress. Well, it didn't have the backing of Congress because many congressmen don't want to tamper with gun laws and gun rights. A number of Americans prize owning guns for the purposes of self-protection, and some see any gun law tampering as an underhanded attempt to take gun rights away from Americans and thus violate every American's Second Amendment right to bear arms. And yet Republicans have been very hesitant to push for gun reform, not only because of the Second Amendment, but because of lobbying agreements. You may not know it, Americans, but the NRA, the National Rifle Association, a corporation committed to gun rights, is an exclusive club for gun owners, a group that was once devoted to sportsmanship and hunting animals and being responsible with guns, is now working as a bribe with regard to our congressmen. A New York Times article has shown that Florida Senator Marco Rubio, for example, received $3.3 million in campaign donations from the NRA last year. Senator Richard Burr of North Carolina, another example, received $6.9 million, nearly $7 million from the NRA. And the NRA pays congressmen by throwing their money around so that these congressmen, once in place in Washington at the Capitol, can make laws that benefit gun owners and gun manufacturers. Yes, the NRA gets a lot of dirt thrown on it, and the corporation should. But behind the NRA are gun manufacturers who want to enact policies that increase their profits. But at some point, one must choose between profits and people. As with the recent Parkland shooting, we've been awakened from our political slumber. I've been awakened from my own to see that guns are not toys. Guns kill people. One bullet fired from a gun can take out anyone in its path, and guns are not safe by any definition. Guns can go off accidentally killing innocent bystanders. Guns contain bullets, and these bullets are what I call equal opportunity killers. They don't discriminate between good people on one hand and bad people on the other, no. Bullets penetrate bodies and kill humans, whether criminal or not, which makes guns a life risk for humanity. Robberies are on the rise in the U.S. because robbers realize that many Americans are afraid of guns, don't want to be near guns, don't pull guns out, and don't use guns for sport. And that's the reason why when they rob a place, they point a gun at you and say, give me all your money, because they know guns are a sign of killing. And if a person can be manipulated with guns, they can have anything that the robbers themselves want. Robberies are on the rise in the U.S. because of this. Most Americans see them as a life risk, as a symbol of death, as a means of manipulation by which the evil people of the world and the U.S. can get anything they want. Just threaten the lives of innocent people with a gun and they'll take all the money out of the cash register, a criminal would say. Point a gun at a bad guy and he'll cower down, others believe. But the Parkland shooting on Valentine's Day, the shooting that was designed to spread and enact fear and hate on a day of love, reminds us that guns kill. And in this time in which the country is debating how to move forward, one thing on the mind of every American is school safety and the safety of our children in American schools. Sure, we all agree that our schools can have better protection, such as bulletproof Kevlar-designed windows and Kevlar vests, as well as more armed security guards. But our Republican Congress has yet to provide it. When President Trump spoke at the State of the Union recently, he spent more time talking about the need to build his $25 billion wall to keep Mexicans out. And he stressed how gang members took the lives of innocent black girls. Yes, for the first time since Donald Trump declared his candidacy for the office of the president, he finally got around to mentioning or acknowledging blacks. Except, blacks were only used in the context of manipulation to push for his wall and the ridiculous expenditure needed to get it. Nothing was mentioned then about the safety of our schools, despite the fact that school shootings had happened before 2018. And yet, to be factually accurate, 18 school shootings have already happened this year in the first 45 days of the new year. And yet our president, up until Parkland, has said next to nothing about the need for increased school security. Donald Trump's silence on guns regulation and gun reform matches that of his Republican colleagues. There are quite a few paid with NRA money on the list, and Donald Trump is one of them. The NRA put $30 million towards Trump's campaign, with campaign donations for Trump and campaign donations to oppose Hillary Clinton in campaign advertising. So Donald Trump, being paid by the NRA, has turned a blind eye to what the NRA is doing because, well, as the old saying goes, you don't bite the hand that feeds you. When you're getting $30 million like Trump, Senator Richard Burr, Senator Tom Tillis, and even Senator Marco Rubio and others, you don't fight against the one compensating you. When you work at a job, you don't oppose your boss because to lose your job is to lose your money. And when you're hired by a client for business, you aim to keep the client happy because out of that happiness comes money. And similarly, when the National Rifle Association is paying you to continue to allow unregulated access to guns of all kinds, including assault weapons such as AR-15s, you don't oppose the NRA cause. You simply say, yes, sir, and you do as you're told. Money talks, and when you allow yourself to be bribed by it, money talks louder than you. And this explains the recent behavior with Republican congressmen. The survivors of the Parkland shooting went to the Florida capital of Tallahassee this week to voice their views on gun violence and the need for gun reform. They even took to the capitol in Washington to meet with Republican congressmen, but they were opposed at every turn. Few congressmen even met with the survivors and students. In one particular case, I read a congressman who would normally have had three meetings by lunch was, quote unquote, still asleep, unquote, and couldn't find the energy to get up to talk to the future constituents. Isn't that something? Our congressmen, elected to serve the people, had no time for the future soon-to-be voters because they were too busy to serve the people. It makes you wonder why we even voted them in at all. But it doesn't stop with the evasion of personal interaction. This past week, CNN held a town hall meeting with the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School survivors and parents of the victims of the Florida congressman who you would expect to come. Only three showed up: Democratic Senator Bill Douglas, Florida Representative Ted Deutch, and Republican Senator Marco Rubio. He was the only Republican senator who appeared. Not even Florida's Republican Governor Rick Scott made an appearance, which I find to be nothing short of pathetic. Here are the victims of the school shooting: those who are still traumatized and have PTSD after all the carnage they witnessed, and Governor Rick Scott couldn't even come to show his support for their healing. Once again, I wonder, why did Floridians even elect these officials? When you're a congressman and you're too busy to serve the people by meeting with the people, you're not there for the people, folks. You're there for yourself. But what it shows is that Republican congressmen don't want to discuss gun regulation, gun reform, the further limiting of gun rights because, well, they don't want to talk about it. They're in too deep in the political gains of gun manufacturers and gun lobbyists that they won't entertain anything that would take all that money away. And when the time comes to talk about it, they'll simply just not show up because if they have to appear, then they have to look silly when they struggle to answer questions about the NRA and how they are in the NRA's back pocket. Governor Rick Scott didn't appear at the town meeting. The reason? He's a card-carrying member of the NRA. That's why. Why talk against the NRA when they're funding your position and giving you money to protect their interests? Governor Rick Scott didn't want to commit political suicide, so he just didn't show up. That's typical of when you're hiding something. Proverbs 17, verse 23, the verse of the day, as we read, tells us, a wicked man accepts a bribe behind the back to pervert the ways of justice. First, it says that a wicked man, a reference to an evil person, a person that goes against the good, that goes against the righteous and godly person, accepts a bribe. This is not an action of a righteous person, but an evil person. Republicans are people of faith, those who love God and country, and they wouldn't call themselves wicked. And yet, they're guilty of what Proverbs 17, verse 23 warns against, accepting bribes. Now, what is a bribe? This is a good question. The word for bribe here in Proverbs 17, 23 is gift, a word that seems neutral on the surface. And yet, we're talking about a wicked man here receiving gifts. A bribe is that which persuades someone to act in one's favor. In other words, the person given the bribe is a person that can do something significant or has the power to do something for another. And so the briber gives the gift. And when he does, he wants the bribed, the person who receives the bribe, the gift, to do something. Context tells us that this gift is given to him, as the verse says, behind the back. Now, I did some research on this behind the back business. And though it's translated behind the back, it actually means in the bosom. The Greek word here in the Greek Old Testament, or the Septuagint, means in the bosom. So it says this word means the wicked person pulls the gift from his bosom as though he's keeping it close to his chest. Then he hides it behind his back. He keeps it close to his chest because he doesn't want anyone to really know that he has it. The King James Version trumps the New King James here because the KJV renders the verse as, a wicked man taketh a gift out of the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment. It's kept close to his heart because he loves it and cherishes it, but then he hides it. Why would the wicked person hide such a treasured gift unless the gift itself was evil and wicked? The wicked man doesn't want it known that he's wicked. Robbers who rob homes hope to flee before they're caught by the police because they don't want to get caught. And wicked people do evil things and hide their hands because they don't want anyone to know their actions. No wicked person has ever thrown their hands up and said, come get me, I did it. I did the shooting. I did the robbing. I did the killing. I'm a bad guy. No one's ever said that. And 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, even Satan, who is the most evil creature in existence, transforms himself into an angel of light. Satan wants to appear to be good because the deception is part of the strategy. And the wicked man in Proverbs 17:23 takes the bribe from his bosom and hides it because he didn't get the gift, folks, for Christmas. It's not a Christmas gift. He didn't get the gift due to a good promotion or as a volunteer gift from a friend. He does what he does because the gift is unrighteous, and the gift is given to him to sway his decisions. As the verse we read today says, the bribe is accepted to pervert the ways of justice. The word pervert here is the Greek word ekline, which means to deviate or to turn aside. From the word ekline, we get our English word recline, which means to lay back or to bend or to relax. And so the person who accepts a bribe, according to scripture here, is someone who reclines or relaxes or bends back the ways of justice. The bribed, the one who accepts the gift of the briber, is one who wants to undo justice, who wants to relax the moral laws, someone who wants to bend the truth to incorporate falsehood or lies. Again, money talks. Money tells the bribed what to believe, how to believe, and what to do to see to it that the deck is stacked in the interests of the briber. Just relax the laws a little, they say. Who's going to know? Sometimes the briber tells the bribed to do it for the good of whatever view or position or agenda they hold. So the bribe takes the money and he does whatever the deed is, thinking that some good will come of it. Remember Judas? When Judas betrayed Jesus, he believed he was doing something good and getting paid at the same time. What could be better than that, some would ask. But in the end, though, he realized he was simply being used by the Pharisees, all while putting Jesus, an innocent man, to death. His exact words in the end were, I have betrayed innocent blood. After Jesus is arrested and sentenced, he realizes that Jesus is innocent, which tells you that prior to this realization, he believed that Jesus was guilty. That's exactly what the briber or bribers tell the bribed, the one they get to do the deed, that the other group opposing them is guilty of doing something, that the other group is sinister and evil, and that they're doing a good deed by taking the bribe and doing something good, quote unquote, with it. If they can plant in the mind of the ungodly person who doesn't know truth from error to take one for the team, as they say, then they can get their agenda accomplished. What Proverbs 17 verse 23 is saying in few words is that the gift given to the ungodly or the wicked man is given for dishonest reasons, to pervert the ways of justice, the text says. The gift is not given to ensure justice. If it was given for good, I think we could all go along and see something praiseworthy about it. If the gift was given to ensure that we have more armed security guards, or that the poor have rising wages and increasing job opportunities, if the gift was given to see to it that bad guys are punished and that the good and innocent are protected, then we could see it. If the money was given for AIDS research or cancer research, we could go along with it. But the gift is used for evil means, to bend truth to such an extent that truth doesn't really look like truth anymore. There is a phrase in the Greek Old Testament in the Septuagint that is abandoned here in Proverbs 17:23 in a number of versions that I looked up of scripture this morning. The phrase missing that's in the Greek Old Testament, but missing in our common translations, is the phrase does not bring down or destroy the paths of ungodliness. Put into the context, it means the bribed person does not bring down that which is false. They don't put an end to falsehood, but instead they become a part of the problem rather than the solution, and they pervert that which is good. They contaminate or sully that which is good. They stain it with evil. We could applaud the bribed person for bringing down the bad or destroying the path of unrighteousness, but this bribed person instead bends and stretches that which is righteous. Good becomes bad and bad becomes good, all for a few thousand dollars or influential swing votes, for example. Or in the case of the NRA, with some of these senators, millions of dollars. Now, some would say, what does that have to do with the NRA? Well, I'm glad you asked. The NRA finds itself in the position of which this verse warns us. The NRA is a lobbyist organization, one in which people go to Washington and campaign for gun rights. But they are being fueled and funded by gun manufacturers such as the Colt Corporation. According to Democratic Senator Bill Nelson, at the CNN town hall meeting, the Republican majority in Congress gave financial incentives to gunmaker Colt to go to Florida and build a gun manufacturing plant in the area. The AR-15 that was used to kill 17 people in Parkland was made in Florida. Think about that. The Republican congressman who put these financial incentives through could have never seen in advance the effects of what such a lucrative decision would do. But do they not bear blame for entertaining killing machine makers in order to bring more money into the state? I'm all for business coming into the state to help the economy. But must we engage gun makers in order to make a profit? Is Florida's economy that bad that we have to sacrifice our children, watch them get gunned down in cold blood for some cold green cash? Gun makers will throw up their hands and say, we're innocent. We only make the guns. We don't tell people how to use them. We don't force them to use them to gun down innocent children. And yet, why do these gun makers craft guns? Do they not make them with the goal of selling them? That people would buy those guns and use them? No one makes something and then says, oh, we don't want you to use it. That makes little sense whatsoever. Gun makers can't make money if no one buys their guns. So they want people, they encourage people to buy their guns. And they want people to use their guns, which is why the AR-15s made by Colt can shoot as much as 600 rounds of ammo per minute. An article I read this week said, they want you to have explosive capabilities with these guns that transcend your experiences with other guns and thus makes them attractive to purchase from in the future. It's all done for the purposes of capitalism, making money, getting ahead of the competition. But do we need guns to shoot 600 rounds of ammo per minute? Do we need Republicans funding gun makers to come into the state of Florida or anywhere else for that matter and set up shop? Funding gun makers to come into the U.S. is the equivalent of saying, let's give money to bet on who can make the most lethal gun that kills the most people the fastest. Or let's see who can make the most deadly weapon that can do the most harm. Do we really want to compensate gun makers for harming our nation's citizens when the Republicans, the same ones who are so pro-birth and pro-life, claim that they want to save life instead of harm it? Guns are not all of the problem. But AR-15s and AK-47s are symbols of what has gone wrong in our world. Their capabilities are beyond the needs of most civilians, which is why many, myself included, are calling for an assault weapons ban nationwide here in the United States. Sadly, the Republicans, the same ones who are so opposed to killing life in the womb, are the same ones who don't mind killing life outside of the womb. If guns with above average capabilities are allowed to roam free, then at some point they will be purchased by criminals and unrighteous people. And Republicans know that. In the same way the Parkland shooter went to a Subway and purchased a meal after he shot up Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, in the same way criminals also purchase food, they will most definitely purchase guns. Gun makers can't determine how far those guns will travel and whose hands they'll end up in. Perhaps this is the reason why Republican congressmen and legislators in general in the U.S. should put limits on what kind of devices gun makers can craft. 600 rounds of ammo is too much capability in a gun for any normal civilian. The shooter fired off 150 rounds of ammo in 6 or 7 minutes, and even that was too much. And yet, gun capabilities could be limited if Republicans would push these measures forward. They control both the House and the Senate, and their president is one of their own, and yet they do not. They treat the issue of gun reform as the elephant in the room they can't speak of, can't think about, can't talk about. NRA spokeswoman Dana Lush testified at the CNN town hall meeting this week that the FBI failed to show up and follow up on the reports about the shooter. Yes, the shooter did go on YouTube a year ago, and he wrote that he wanted to be a professional school shooter. Let's blame these entities like the FBI, as well as the state's failure to report mental health cases. Only 38 states report mental health as the causes of the shooting. Yes, it was everyone's fault, but of course the gun makers and the NRA that has become a lobbyist funding organization who will say and do anything to smoke screen the American public from considering the ills of gun capabilities and their unrestricted access to children and civilian adults. They blame everyone but themselves. I want to end the service today by reading the letter that I've written to Senator Marco Rubio. I thought this would delay the service too long, and it might, but I want you all to hear the letter I've written in the event that you don't get to see the document or read it. I'll share the document on this webpage, so read below for those who want to read it. But for those who want to hear it audibly, I don't mind reading it. So let's read this letter. Just give me a quick moment here. Just trying to look for it. Shouldn't take long. Okay. Here we go. Dear Senator Marco Rubio, let me first say that I appreciate your appearance at the CNN town hall meeting. I watched it both on CNN via satellite and on YouTube some hours later to catch the first half. Your presence was noted and seen and appreciated by me because of just how many Republicans failed to appear. The Parkland shooting is an event that affects us all, whether we live in Florida where the Parkland shooting occurred, in Las Vegas with the Las Vegas massacre, or in another state and city. We're all Americans, and the loss of our children should affect us because they are our future. So your effort is commendable. I gather from the CNN town hall meeting that you're someone who wants to work across party lines to get things accomplished for the good of this country. I know very little about your voting record, except to say that you're a Republican, and I'm aware of how Republicans vote on quite a few issues. But I, like Jamie Gutenberg's father, who was present at the town hall meeting, want to like you. You seem like a guy who is interested in hearing what the Parkland school shooting victims had to say. The other Republicans in your state and across the country didn't even man and woman up to appear at what should have been a significant event. Most of them probably spend more time at fancy banquet dinners raising donations for their campaigns than spending time with innocent children who've had to be victim to a tragedy that no child should experience. I heard some things from you at the town hall meeting that I wanted to address while my mind is fresh, which is why this letter comes just a few days after the event. First, you said the following at the CNN town hall discussion, quote, I do support the Second Amendment, and I also support the right of you and everyone here to be able to go to school and be safe. And yet, allowing the Second Amendment to lead to unrestricted gun access puts the safety of children at risk in our schools. If one takes too far a position on child safety and bans weapons of any kind anywhere at any time, then citizens won't have any form of protection for themselves, which leaves them vulnerable in isolated situations. There has to be a middle ground, a compromise that preserves the rights of children to live in safety in schools and allow gun owners to maintain the right to defend themselves. Limiting guns by way of eliminating assault weapons is the way to go. No civilian needs assault weapons, point blank. To say that you're for the rights of children to be safe in schools, all while allowing these military-style assault weapons to continue flourishing in mass supply is rather dishonest in my view. It's like saying, I'm all for the rights of people to live, but then receive money from marijuana, heroin, and cocaine producers and say, but no matter the number of drug deaths, I refuse to sponsor a bill that would effectively ban these drugs from being on the market. It's not only dishonest, but incoherent and inconsistent. Next, I listened to the CNN town hall statement to provide a quote you said in your response to Cameron Caskey when he asked you to promise you'd never receive another NRA donation. Quote, people buy into my agenda. The influence of these groups comes not from money. The influence comes from the millions of people that agree with the agenda, the millions of Americans that support the NRA and who support gun rights groups. I will always accept the help of anyone who agrees with my agenda. This statement is problematic because, first off, your agenda should be the public welfare. Your agenda should be the agenda of the U.S. public, of the country's population. You may have dabbled into party politics as a candidate, Senator, but your job now is to ensure that the interests of the public as a whole are served. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that the NRA only has 5 million members. How do the interests of the NRA match those of the whole nation when there are over 350 million U.S. citizens? 5 million versus 350 million. Basic math tells us that 5 million never trumps 350 million. By aligning with the NRA and taking their money, you're putting the interests of a few above the interests of the majority. That's not how laws are made in this country. Laws are made to protect everyone as much as possible, and the majority in cases where the laws do not appease everyone. So what you really are for, the NRA, is a special interest politician, not a U.S. senator. And by taking money from them and refusing to reject their blood money, you're playing the role, think biblically with me here, of a Judas who's been paid off by the Pharisees to betray Jesus, all while claiming that you're doing nothing wrong. But you are. You claim to be about what's best for this country. You claim that you've created bills that the Republicans have done little about. But what good is all that if, in the end, you're simply going to do what all other Republicans do and accept NRA money? Again, I want to like you. I want to think that you're one who will vote your convictions. But I see you say one thing and then do something else. You couldn't answer Cameron Caskey's question about not receiving NRA money from here forward because you know that when the chips fall, you're going to always cast a vote in favor of the NRA. You believe in the Second Amendment, you say, but you can defend the Second Amendment and say no to assault weapons. You like guns and the NRA likes guns and like breeds like, as they say. But Senator Rubio, you cannot accept NRA money and they claim you don't represent their interests. If you didn't represent their interests and vote like their money dictates, then you wouldn't have an A-plus rating with the NRA, nor would you be paid $3.2 or $3.3 million a year in campaign donations. So the truth of it all is that you need campaign money and they provide it. Well, answer me this. What good will that campaign money do for you when you lose your Senate race and seat and find a Democrat occupying it? You do realize that senators are dispensable in the minds of the NRA, don't you? You do see that the NRA only loves you and donates to you because of your Senate seat. Without it, they wouldn't know your name or care for that matter. And this year and in 2019, anyone affiliated with the NRA will be voted against. The wave of social media will stain the reputation of anyone associated with the National Rifle Association. You are a believer in Scripture. I saw an Isaiah quote on one of your social media accounts recently. Well, I too believe in Scripture. You and I both love God and fear God, and we want to live in a country where we can hold to the values of faith and family, as do I. But this is a time in which you have to see the handwriting on the wall. The country is against assault weapons and wants them banned. You are in a position to make that happen, but you're choosing to side with the NRA instead because all you can think about is their donation money. But you're a man of conviction, right? I'm sorry, but a man of conviction doesn't need to accept bribes. Now, you may quickly say, but I'm supporting them because they agree with me. Well, you're interested in raising the purchase of firearms age from 18 to 21, but they're not about that. So if they agree with you, then that means you don't care about school safety, because they don't. They've done nothing more than pass the blame to the FBI, schools, and states, and President Trump has said that he wants to arm teachers. Again, you disagree with that. Why disagree with the idea of arming teachers when the NRA would love that idea? You do see the rationale behind Trump's idea, don't you?
giving teachers guns increases profits of gun manufacturers and an increase in NRA membership. If you're against all that, then you have to publicly admit that you're going against the NRA. But if you don't, and you accept NRA money because they agree with my interests, as you claim, then you really don't care about schools, and you only want to keep the NRA and the manufacturer members of it who make money from gun production happy. You can't have it both ways. You're a United States senator, a United States senator. Your goal as a public servant is to unite the nation, not divide it. Currently, the nation is for the ban of assault weapons. Every single one of them, though maybe 200, will be banned at first. And yet you're against it because if I believe it would have prevented the Parkland shooting, I would have voted for it, you say. I don't believe it, and neither does America. These gun manufacturers pay the NRA and thus pay your campaign donations. You're a servant hired by them in that sense. And yet you claim to represent we, the people. Well, it's time you remember who elected you in the first place. The people. And there are a number of Republican constituents who no longer want assault weapons easily accessible to 18-year-olds. You're willing to raise the age of purchase, but that's not enough. It's not enough to remove weapons out of their hands for 3 years. In 3 years, an 18-year-old will be 21. And thanks to your NRA buddies, he'll still have access to AR-15s and AK-47s that, as your colleague Senator Bill Nelson of Florida said, are manufactured in Florida by companies such as the Colt Corporation. Because Florida law has handed them money to make guns there. 3 years will save the lives of children, for 3 years anyway, but it won't stop the shooter from killing that same graduating class in another 3 years. If he is prevented from killing a high school freshman class, for example, he'll still be able to murder them as seniors because they'll still be at the same high school 3 years later. In other words, delaying the age of purchase by another 3 years will only delay the slaughter. It won't deter the shooter, and it won't save that same class of children. Since you're a man of faith, I want to talk to you as two people of faith, two people who believe in living our lives by the good book. Judas accepted the money from the Pharisees, and when Jesus is put to death and Judas realizes Jesus is innocent, he says, "I have betrayed innocent blood." He didn't blame the Pharisees. He didn't blame other entities, and he didn't say, "I'm innocent," despite the fact that I took the money. He handed Jesus over to them by kissing him on the cheek. You have kissed the cheek of the NRA far too many times. You have kissed the cheeks of gun manufacturers who are NRA members too many times. The result of your alliance with them has been the death of innocent children. Let's face it. The gun manufacturers in the NRA don't care about children getting killed as long as they sell another gun to another consumer. They've spent so many years wringing their hands and saying to the press, "We're not guilty because some maniac took matters in his own hands and used our guns." And yet that maniac chose their guns, a gun they manufactured with which to do the deed. If someone drives a mass school shooter to the school, puts him off and runs the other way as he's shooting, does that person escape guilt? No. You would be part of the movement. You yourself would be part of the movement to put the driver behind bars. And yet you drive gun profits. You drive AR-15 profits, the profits of the same gun used to slaughter 17 people at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, but now claim that I am innocent. I stand by my own convictions. I am not guilty. Even Judas realized that to take the money from the Pharisees was to be complicit in their deed. The gun manufacturers who are no doubt in the NRA and are supported by the NRA are the same people who sell more guns, make more profits mantra you continue to protect by continuing to receive NRA campaign donations. And in this, you're complicit. Only a complicit man would receive funding. If you're innocent, you drop them like a bad habit. Pronto. Either you're for school safety or you're not. Guns are not designed to protect. They're designed to kill. And no animal rights individual would be okay with guns being anywhere near animals. In the same vein, you, if you're for school safety, wouldn't be all right with taking campaign donations from gun manufacturers who design weapons for the sole purpose of killing. Yes, knives are used as weapons in particular cases, but knives were designed to cut and chop food, not people. Name one other purpose for which guns were created. There is none. The gun manufacturers are in their business to make a profit. Who cares about the consequences and the impact of guns, right? But you're a man of conviction, a man of faith, a man of God who believes in the sanctity of human life. You're anti-abortion. You believe that all children conceived in the womb should grow to term, that no mother or father should get away with killing a child in vitro. You would pass legislation to increase jail time for even negligent parents who left their born children unattended with a gun. If you do these things, then why let mass shooters or shooters in general have unrestricted access to AR-15s and assault weapons? There is no point in it, and you're inconsistent to be pro-life on one hand, but not on the other. Your pro-life stance means little if you allow gun manufacturers to sell their guns to whoever they want. These military-grade rifles have no business being in the hands of civilians, whether 18 or 21 years of age. No one in normal life needs a gun the size of an AR-15. To assume otherwise is merely paranoid. I know you agree that they don't need them, but you feel as if banning them will kill off gun manufacturer profits. In the end, it won't. Civilians will buy the guns that are made available to them for protection. But the gun manufacturers will not cease gun production on AR-15s and AK-47s because Florida law is giving them financial incentives. The only way to undercut their motivation is to hit them where it hurts, in their pockets. And you're the U.S. Senator who's been sworn in to look after the public welfare and to ensure domestic tranquility. It's your job, your duty, your divine calling to do so. I want to like you, Senator Rubio. I truly do. And I want to think that you're a man of Christian conviction who calls a spade and tells it like it is. But I think you're being dishonest with yourself, the NRA, and the survivors of Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. What would Jesus do? He wouldn't approve of you endorsing companies who are in the design to kill business. James says in scripture that it's no good to tell a man be filled when he's hungry, but give him no food. That to see a man beaten among thieves and left for dead, as the priest did, but walk on by and do nothing, is okay. By wanting to raise the age, which only delays the inevitable, and not do something about what could be the inevitable, is to see a need and yet turn a blind eye to it. It's not what our Lord would do, and it's not what you've been sworn in to do. You're to defend and protect our citizens, whether unborn, children, adults, or elderly. You can't defend them and the gun corporations and manufacturers. You can't defend them and the NRA. You can't limit guns on one hand and keep the NRA profits at the same level. You have to choose. And that choice, whether for right or wrong, will affect you and this nation in the days, months, and years to come. And your children and children's children could, though I pray against it, someday be victims. I don't want any more children to die. And I'm willing to limit guns and ban assault weapons if need be. Don't be a Judas. Don't continue to take the NRA's money and then say, the blood of America's children is not on my hands. Like Judas, it is. If you continue to take NRA money, you've got to end this affiliation. I expect a public announcement when you do. And I expect, like the survivors of the high school where the shooting occurred, I expect you to have a proverbial look in the eye at the NRA with the words, I will no longer accept your campaign donations. I am a man of integrity. Can you do that, Senator Rubio? I sure hope so. That $3 million a year, as great as it may be, won't exist if you continue to put the NRA above the safety of our children. The NRA supports unrestricted access to guns, allowing mass school shooters to obtain them. The other side says these assault weapons should be banned because they're designed to kill. There can be a compromise, but the NRA won't escape unscathed. Not only will they have a tarnished reputation, as they already do, but they'll have to lose profits in order to limit assault weapons for the safety of our children. Whatever you think about the FBI, the states, law enforcement, etc., they are only part of the problem behind the Parkland shooting. The other half of the problem is the shooter's unrestricted access to guns. I call for an assault weapons ban. And since you want to go against the grain of the party for your convictions, I expect you to lead the way with a new assault weapons bill. Before that, though, be a Christian man of integrity and cease your affiliation with the NRA. Though the tone of this letter has been harsh and some of my words unkind. I have only said them with the goal of reminding you of your duty to protect and serve America, not special interests. The Lion King is a movie I've loved forever and a day, and it's designed for children, but its message is a good one for us adults, too. Mufasa told Simba, remember who you are. Senator Rubio, remember who you are. You're a man of conviction, a man of faith, a public servant of the people, a man sworn to protect and defend even the smallest of us. The NRA doesn't share that interest, and so it's time to cut the cord on the NRA. It's time for you to take a stand and say no to the NRA. If you don't do it for me, or for yourself, or for the Republican Party, do it for the children. Do it for the least of us. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and aid you in the mountain of work you have to do to revive domestic tranquility in the days ahead. Respectfully submitted, a concerned pastor. Before I end, folks, I just want to say that I read that letter because that letter represents my convictions on the subject. I'm saddened over yet another mass school shooting, and I pray that we never have another. But as long as guns remain unregulated, this is the tragedy that we'll have to wake up to here in the States. So what we need to do is pray for our leaders, all who are in authority, as Paul told those in Ephesus to do in 1 Timothy. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for us as a country to come together and do what we can do for the welfare and safety of our children. They are our future, and they deserve defending, and they deserve protection, because without them, we have no future. I was so disheartened by the shooting, and all I've been able to think about are my niece and my nephew. And I want them to grow up in a world, in a country, where they are safe, where when they go to school, they go to learn, not go to keep an eye on themselves, not go to keep an eye on the windows, because they're afraid that a bullet might come through it at any moment. Not wondering if they'll make it home. I want my sister to not worry about, and my brother-in-law to not worry about their two children. And in order for that to happen, as a country, we've got to do something. Sitting there holding to gun rights, what good is it to hold to gun rights when we could do something to protect our children? Guess what, folks? Everybody in the world is not a Christian. Everybody in the world is not a morally upright person. Everyone in the world does not live by the same laws that we do. They don't live like we do. They don't love the Lord. They don't love their fellow man. They're not law-abiding citizens. Every person in this world is not law-abiding. Everyone in this country isn't law-abiding. And you know what Paul says about the law? Read 1 Timothy 1. The law is for those who do evil. The law is for transgressors. Read Romans 13. Who is the law for? Who are the authorities for? Why do they bear the sword? They're not a terror to those who do good, but to those who do evil. It's time we pass legislation to prevent the evil. And by doing that, we will be people of justice because we believe in the God of justice. If Republicans believe in the God of justice, now's the time to act, because the future of our nation and our children are depending on it. Amen. Before we end the service, I want to take time. There might be someone today who says, well, all of these, this discussion of gun rights and gun reform is true. And maybe you're accurate, but the problem are the people. Yes, I agree. I agree. One of the issues is just that the laws are too lax. But the other is that, yes, the people are the problem, because people are evil in the world. And you know what? The only one that can drive that evil out is Jesus. Not me, not the senators, not the students of Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. No matter how great and sweeping their reforms are, no matter how much they mobilize, no matter how much students walk out of their classes in protest, the only thing that's going to change the evil heart of man's sin-sick soul, is Jesus. So if you're out there today and you say, well, that's just evil. Well, how do you know evil? You only know evil because you've seen good. Let me tell you something. Jesus himself said that there is none good but God alone. And the only cure for the human heart is the good. That is God. And if you don't know the Lord today, we want you to get a chance to be introduced to this God who made heaven and earth, the God who came down and took on flesh and dwelt among us, the God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That as John 3:16 says, whoever believes in him, anyone, it doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white or Hispanic or Latina. It doesn't matter your height, your eye color. It doesn't matter your body constitution. Whoever believes in him, whoever believes in this Jesus shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If you want to believe on the Lord Jesus today, we're going to ask that you pray with us. We're going to ask the Spirit to touch your heart and the lives of those listening to this message. We're not here to force you. We're just here to pray for you, that the Spirit would begin to work in your life, that even if you don't come to faith today, that the Spirit will start to move in your life, that before long you will recognize that God has been wooing you to himself all the time. So now we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, as we come, we thank you for your word. We thank you for being informed about gun laws and gun violence. Lord, you are the Prince of Peace. You came to this world to bring peace, to bring a peace that surpasses all understanding. But God, we know that even as we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, that your kingdom has not yet come and your will has not yet been done. There is still gun violence all over this world, but particularly in this country, the United States of America. God, there are so many holding on to their gun rights that they don't see what it's doing to our nation's children. No 18-year-old should have ever been able to obtain a gun, such as an AR-15 or a gun in general, and go into a school and shoot up innocent lives. It should have never happened. But it's happening because our politicians are in the back pockets of the NRA, the National Rifle Association, and they won't turn their money loose. And the problem with that, God, is that if they're going to be people that live by the Bible and they claim that the Republicans say they're so Christian, where are your Christian principles to say, no, I will not accept this money because I'm a man or a woman of conviction? Where's the conviction when they need it? Lord, if they've ever needed their convictions, it's now. And yet and still they turn a blind eye. They're members of this association and all they're doing is taking money to turn away from the problem. They are like Judas. They are hired hitmen who have taken blood money and yet they don't realize they've done it. So Lord, I pray for our leaders that your Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that they believe is at work in their lives when they read the Bible, would be at work in them in the days and weeks and months to come. That as they open the Bible, you turn the Bible passages to bribes so that they read that you are not a God of bribes. That they would be so tired of reading about bribes that they would say, I confess, Lord, I have taken bribes. I repent, Lord. How can I make this right? Lord, I want our senators and our congressmen to be men and women of conviction. I want them to be men and women of conviction because our future children, our children need to see people of conviction. Where is our backbone? We've lost it. We've become spineless for millions of dollars. And the blood of our children that is spilled is on our hands. Oh God, will we not let another child be lost before we see our corporate greed? God, would you touch the Republican Party? Would you touch our President Donald Trump? That you would help him understand that the answer to the problem is not to arm teachers. The answer is to disarm people in the country. The answer is to regulate laws. The answer is to show that if we care so much about life, we're going to regulate guns to preserve it. God, I thank you for those who have been listening under the sound of my voice. And Lord, for that person that doesn't know you and the pardons of their sins, we're going to ask that person to pray along with me right now. Lord Jesus, God, I thank you for your word. I believe that you have come into the world and died for my sins, and you rose on the third day for my justification. And you said in your word that one day you would come back for me and you would take me home to be with you, Lord, in a place that you have prepared. Lord, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I pray now that you would come into my heart. Make me a new Lord. Change me from the inside out, and I'll give up everything and gladly follow you. I thank you, Lord, for this salvation, and I thank you for this joy that I have, and I anxiously await your return. And Lord, we pray all of these things in the name of the one who died for us, in the name of the one who rose for us, and in the name of the one who's coming again for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 We love you. We thank God for your presence today. It's been a long day. Amen. I didn't want to prolong it by reading this letter, but I felt no choice. I think that we need to be active on the front. I've been very active politically all week on social media, and God has moved me to care about the future and safety of our children. And as you pray this week and as you pray in the months to come, pray for our children. Pray for our nieces and our nephews, our sons and our daughters. Pray for our little cousins. Pray for the children, because Jesus loves them. Jesus loves the little children of the world. That's the song we sing. Red, yellow, black, and white. All are precious in his sight. Amen. We love you. We thank God for you. And we're going to give the benediction and let you go. Now may the love and the grace and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. And all of God's people say amen, amen, and amen. We love you. We thank God for you. And we'll see you next week.